Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
The second thing I want to share with you about the benefit of experiencing the true Christ after this session, I want us to pray for the true Christ to be manifest in this end time. Hallelujah. The one that comes from the heavenly kingdom above. So the second thing I will share with us about the benefits of teamwork or having the true Christ is that teamwork enriches, matures, develops, and humbles you as you get exposed to other people's graces and personalities. Teamwork enriches the whole team. It matures the individual members in the team. It develops and humbles the individual members in the team. Because of what? Because in the team, you get exposed to other people's graces, other people's personalities, other people's opinions, you know, and that enriches you. That enriches you so that you don't just have one opinion about something. It enriches you and matures you and develops you, humbles you. Romans chapter 1 verse 12, the Apostle Paul said something in this regard. Please remember that Apostle Paul was a great man of wisdom who bought into the mind of Jesus for his church. So he wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. Apostle Paul is so great, but look at what he writes to the church in Rome. Verse 11 for context says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me." Can you imagine? The Apostle Paul says that, "You church in Rome, I want your faith to encourage me, and I want my faith to encourage you." This is talking about our being in a team, experiencing the real Christ, you see. So it is wonderful when you get exposed to other people's graces, you get encouraged. Apostle Paul says that I may be encouraged together with you. I like the phrase "together with you." You see, it's not like Apostle Paul, me, I'm encouraging myself. You know, he says I will be encouraged together with you. Together with you. The thing is weight. That talks about a togetherness. That talks about a manifestation of Christ, the true Christ, the true one body, many members. I will be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. You see, this is a very humble man who understands the true Christ. Somebody would have said, "I want to come to you so that I would strengthen your faith." You see, that's the way you could have put it. I'm sure he could have put it that way because he had a lot of wisdom from God for him to say that, "I am going to benefit you. I'm going to bless you. I mean, get you guys encouraged and animated, you know, inspired." But he's talking about the mutuality of the whole thing. The mutuality of the whole thing. And that is what the true Christ is all about. The third thing I will say about the benefit of teamwork is that teamwork helps us to give the glory to God and not take it for ourselves. It helps us to give the glory to God and not take it for ourselves. God wants to receive all the glory. God wants to receive all the glory for the things that his team, his army on this earth does. That is why he makes it such that every individual soldier who is a believer bringing about God's kingdom on this earth doesn't have it all together, doesn't have it all alone. But other people in the team have got parts that they contribute, so that no one person can make a claim that that is it, you know, that I am the main thing, and then the person takes the glory for him or herself. That is not it. God wants the whole team to do the work, get his kingdom established, and all the glory to go to him. That is why he breaks down the graces and whatever contribution to individuals among the whole team, so that no one person can take the glory for himself. The religious version is where one person can take the glory for the teamwork because the person has a big estimation of his part that he contributed into the success. But that is a religious version of the Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, woe to God that the Church of the Living God will come to the place where the Apostle Paul was, where he said to the church in Rome, I am going to impart a certain gift unto you, and I will be encouraged together with you by the mutuality of our contribution, of our faith. Hallelujah. Wow. Now, Number three, reason, benefit for being in a team is that Christ is God's end time sign of maturity. God's end time sign of maturity. Teamwork, the height of teamwork, kingdom teamwork is God's end time sign of maturity. And that one, we can see it clearly written in the Bible, especially in Ephesians chapter 4, where we can read from verse 11 to 14. Teamwork is God's end time sign of maturity. It always takes maturity to work with other people in a group or as an army, you know. So verse 11 to 14 tells us about a team. God gives some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the fullness, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, but we will be matured. No longer children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. You see, so when we have come, verse 13, to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know, that is the point where we see that God's end time strategy or sign of maturity is that we are all developed. You know, we come to a perfect man. We come to an edified body. We are an edified body. The whole army is pulsating, vibrating. The whole army is functioning. That is God's end time sign of maturity. Because then verse 14 says, we will no longer be children tossed to and fro. So God wants us to aim for maturity, and his sign that we have reached the maturity is when there is kingdom teamwork. It is not for nothing that the Bible doesn't mention things like Jesus Christ. If you look at verse 12, and then equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And look at verse 13 also, to the, that's the 13 latter part, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Anytime the Bible is talking about our being together, our being loyal to the group, our being together, the Bible uses the word the Christ. Look at verse 15. By speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, who is the head, Christ. Because Christ is one body, many members. Hallelujah. And that is the basis on which God, Jesus said, I will build my church on the revelation of teamwork, which is given from the heavenly kingdom. Hallelujah. The next point, I have lost count. The next benefit of being in a team, the next benefit of being in a team, of being loyal to one another, is that the believer's judgment will mainly be based on faithfulness to the group assignment. A believer's judgment will mainly be based on faithfulness to the group assignment. Faithfulness is talking about loyalty. Another word for being loyal is being faithful or being dependable. Okay? And so, if you look at Matthew chapter 25 and then verse 23, you will see that Jesus will say some words to us. He will say to us that, well done, verse 23, Matthew chapter 25, says that, well done, good and faithful servant. Good and loyal servant. Good and dependable servant. You have been faithful. He drops the good. And he says that you have been faithful. You see the weight of loyalty. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. That's powerful. You see, God is going to judge our faithfulness, the level of our faithfulness to his assignment. That is the group assignment, because faithfulness is always towards a common cause. In this context of Matthew chapter 25 from verse 14 downwards, it is the cause of keeping the goods of Jesus, who traveled to a far country, gave his goods to his servants. One was given five, two, and one. And he came back and pronounced these words, good and faithful servant, to those who championed the cause of his goods, increasing his goods. And so look at it. Look at the blessing he gives for loyalty. It says that you have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler. You see, the basis for ruling in the kingdom future is what? Faithfulness. Faithfulness to what? To the cause of the king. To the cause of the king. Let's look at Luke chapter 22 also. That speaks to a similar issue. Luke chapter 22 and then verse 28. We'll read down to verse 30. It says that, but you are those. Jesus is now addressing his apostles. It says that, but you are those who have continued with me. Please underline with me. Not continued for me. I continue with me, you know, in my trials. And I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me. It says that because you have been faithful with me, you have been faithful, you have been loyal, you have continued with me, I will give you a kingdom. It's just like Matthew 25:23, where he says that, well done, good and faithful, I'll make you a ruler. It says that you have continued with me, I will give you a kingdom. It's the same as saying that I will make you a ruler. You see? So, it is actually loyalty or faithfulness that gives us rulership, that gives us kingdom. Hallelujah. Faithfulness to the cause of the king. Faithfulness to the cause of the king. To getting the assets of the king and the vision of the king to increase on this earth. Faithfulness to this cause, this group assignment of kingdomizing our societies, is what God will mainly judge us on. Mainly, he will judge us on faithfulness to the group assignment. which is to bring about his kingdom wherever we are. That's the assignment of every royal soldier in the army of God. You bring God's kingdom, God's rule where you are.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
The next thing I will share with us is that one of the benefits of having the true Christ is that group work is God's end time rule of engaging the enemy and dislodging him from his place. Group work is God's end time rule of engaging the enemy and dislodging the enemy from his place. If you look at the book of Luke chapter 10, whilst we are in that book, verse 1 to 20, talks to us about a certain work that a group of 70 disciples who were sent two by two. They were sent what? Two by two to go to every city where Jesus Christ himself was about to go. All right? And these 70 disciples who went two by two, that is a picture of teamwork. They dislodged the devil from his place. Jesus said in verse 18, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I saw him fall like lightning from heaven. So teamwork is key, is God's rule for getting the devil dislodged from wherever place that he has taken to be his stronghold. To go against the devil and dislodge his rule in that place, we have to engage in teamwork. It must go as a team, not as an individual strong person. Look at verse 2. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Look at Jesus's end time strategy. He says that if we see that the harvest is big and the laborers are few, he doesn't ask us to pray for more powerful men of God. He doesn't ask us to pray for more anointed few people. He says that pray for more laborers, because his end time rule of engagement is to send a whole team who are loyal to one another. That is how come they are a team, to dislodge the devil from any place that he has established himself in our various societies, in our workplaces, in various aspects of the life of our people. It is a team that gets the work done. It's not one person who is so powerful and all the others are not anything who gets the work done. He says, I pray for laborers. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So, that is God's end time rule of engaging the devil, dislodging the devil from his place, is by going as the true Christ. With the next point I will share with you is that the kingdom of darkness, the benefit of realizing the true Christ, it's not just that the devil will be dislodged from his place in our economy, his place in our social lives, financial lives, spiritual lives, and all that, but also that the kingdom of darkness will be totally overcome. Actually, the kingdom of darkness is a network of spirits, you know, and it takes a network of soldiering saints or the true Christ to overcome it. Hallelujah. Because the devil operates in a network, you know, he has a very effective network. The Bible actually records only two instances where the devil himself spoke. That was, the first one was to Eve in the garden, and the second one was to Jesus in the wilderness, where the devil spoke. All other things that we see the devil mentioned, Satan mentioned, and all that, it's not really, as it were, speaking about the Satan as the Satan himself, Lucifer himself, but his network. He uses principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, demons, religious spirits. He uses these to perpetuate his evil work all around. And because of that, it takes also a network of people who are linked up to God, network of soldiering saints, to be able to overcome this network. Look at Zechariah chapter 1 and then verse 18 to 20. Zechariah is one person who prophesied clearly about the Lord Jesus coming in his kingdom system. Zechariah prophesied that Jesus is going to be a king and a priest at the same time, and a council of peace was going to be between them both. That's the two offices. Jesus was going to combine himself the office of a king and then a priest. He also prophesied that Jesus was going to be called the branch. And look at Zechariah 6. Let me show you something just before we read Zechariah 1. Thus says the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, referring to Jesus, from his place he shall branch out. From his place he shall branch out, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Yes, he shall build the temple of the Lord. He shall bear the glory, and he shall sit and rule on his throne, and he shall be a priest on his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. There's a very powerful prophecy that summarizes the kingdom system that Jesus Christ came with on this earth. He said, I will build my church, and I'm going to sit on the throne as a king and a priest. By his blood, he has made us kings and priests. And the Bible says, we shall reign in the earth, in this earth. Hallelujah. Now, look at the beginning of the revelations God was giving to Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 1 and then verse number 18 to 20. He says what? Then I raised my eyes and looked, and there were four horns. And I said to the angel who talked with me, what are these? What are these horns? So he answered me, these are the horns who have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. Then the Lord showed me four craftsmen. King James says are four carpenters. You know, this four carpenters, ladies and gentlemen, is talking about our Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Four craftsmen. It's talking about our Lord Jesus in the four gospels. Various manifestations of our Lord Jesus. He showed me four craftsmen. And I said, what are these coming to do? So he said, these are the horns that have scattered Judah, so that no one could lift up his head. But the craftsmen are coming to terrify them, to cast out the horns of the nations that lifted up their horn against the land of Judah, to scatter it. Hallelujah. It's powerful. So you see some four horns. That's talking about demonic powers. Those are the four horns. And to counter them, Jesus Christ comes with four faces. You understand that? The face of a lion, the face of an eagle, the face of an ox, the face of a man. That's the four gospels for you, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. So Jesus came. What are these coming to do? He says that they are going to cast out the horns that have scattered the people of God. Judah, Israel, Jerusalem is talking about the people of God. The devil's strategy is to, yes, divide. No teamwork. Give us a false Christ. You see the thing? Scatter. Give us a false Christ. False loyalty. You know? but Jesus is coming to destroy it. So you see a network of spirits, four horns, and you see a network of soldiering saints in the true Christ, the body of Christ, to counter the works of the kingdom of darkness. Hallelujah. The next thing I will share with us is that the world will believe in Jesus through our being one body, many members, in a practical way. The world will believe in Jesus through the visible army of God, who are a body of believers, all believers together, being one body, many members. John chapter 13 and then verse 34. One of the things that grieves is when we are not practically one body, many members. In a practical way, you see, it grieves because it defeats the saints in getting people born again. Look at John 13 verse 34. Our Lord Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." By this, he's talking about one particular thing, not by this. Sometimes we say, "Oh well, if people should believe in Jesus, if people should know that we are Jesus's people, you know, it's a cocktail of issues. We have to be this, we have to be that, we have to have this, we have to have this, develop that, and all that." But that is not what Jesus is saying. He says, "By this." This is a singular rendition of an issue. By this, not by these. By this, one thing, all, not some people, all will know. All will know. It's not like, well, with the intellectuals, we must also have a very good intellectual person, maybe to preach to them so that they will get born again. You know, sometimes we reason out like that, you know. Because, well, they are this type, we must also get that type, you know. We have to use all kind of strategies and all that. Jesus is talking about one singular strategy of Christ that brings an anointing that breaks down the devil's works and gets people born again. "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." He didn't say if you are better organized, if there is order among you. You know, order is wonderful, but order that is not based upon love, but which is based upon the world system and fear and threats and all that, that thing, it doesn't do anything. That is why he said in verse 34 that, "I give you a new commandment, that love one another as I have loved you." That is a foundation for our showing that we are his disciples, and the world will get born again. Whilst we are in John, flip over to chapter 17 and then verse 21. Jesus is praying, verse 20, for context. He says, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they all," that's talking about us now, "that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you." And there's a reason. He says, "that they also may be one in us." The reason is coming now. He says, "that the world may believe that you sent me." How is the world going to believe that God sent Jesus? Jesus gives us the clue. He says that when there is Christ and there is teamwork, hallelujah, when there is a true Christ, then the world will believe. That is why the devil always fight against the true Christ and give us a semblance of the true Christ, a semblance of teamwork, a semblance of unity that is not based on love.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, Amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you.
Lord, I lift your name.